All right, so hello and welcome for another podcast with the Raven and the Road. And today we have special guest with us, Natalie Kemling, who is a lead vocalist for House 11. So in today's podcast, we go deeper into her role as a booking manager and what that process looks for her. So we start off with an introduction, just to see a little bit more about her career and where she's come from. Then we later lead into some of the personal skills that have really helped her for booking and negotiating gigs. Some of the challenges that she's gone through as well. Then we investigate her personal methodology, looking at her go-to strategies, what best works for her, as well as any background information and tools that we may need prior to reaching out to any potential venues. All right. So hello and welcome.
What up, what up? Okay. We got this.
I got this. No, I'm kidding.
My name's Natalie. Thanks for having me. I go by Natty Ray on stage, though. My history with music, I mean, I grew up watching my grandpa. He's a professional singer in a 50s like doo-wop group. So I grew up watching him, and I've pretty much sang my whole life, but I used to be really scared to sing in front of people. So I've been like professionally singing for just a little over a year now. But it's always been a huge part of my life.
So what do you do right now, like in the music scene here in Charlotte?
Right now I'm in a band and also do like a duo performance, and we're pretty busy doing like 2 to 3 shows a week. Yeah, it's a lot, but between rehearsals and everything, but it's so much fun. But yeah, we just kind of, we're all over the place in and around Charlotte, gigging everywhere we can. So.
Thank you. I feel that. So like when it comes to like your career in music, how did that come about? Was there like a one moment choice when you're like, oh, this is it? Or did it just kind of like gradually happen and you just kind of stumbled into it and you're like, oh, this is like where I am?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said before, I used to be really scared to sing in front of people. And 2020 was honestly like the year I left a really bad relationship and lived on my own for the first time in my entire life. And then we got quarantined. So I was like stuck in my apartment by myself and really just like had to self-reflect and figure out who I was and like what I wanted out of life and stuff. And I realized like nothing would make me happier than singing. And so I decided to just put all that fear of what other people would think and everything and whatever was holding me back from singing before. And I just kind of was like, I'm going for it. I'm doing it. And coincidentally, this guy responded to a Facebook post that I had put up on a musician's, Charlotte musician's page.
A year ago.
Yeah, a year prior. A year prior. He responds to it. And he messaged me and he's like, hey, you know, I saw your post, blah, blah, blah. So he comes over. Complete stranger, just invited him to my house. It was cool. My mom was like, you might die. I was like, no, I have a good feeling about this. So he comes over, we start playing, whatever. And he actually invited me to quite a few open mics. And I was just still like, so I didn't go. And then finally, there was one he invited me to. And I was just like, I'm just going to do it. And I was so scared. And yeah, that's where I met you. And
right, it's a pretty great band, but yeah. I'm not biased at all.
And so like crazy how that happened, because then you were like looking for a singer, and so it just like worked out
for sure.
Yeah, so that's how that happened.
Love it. So I guess kind of pushing more into I guess what we'll debut booking manager for today. So kind of in regards to that, what skills were you predisposed to that have really helped you for like booking and negotiating? Like, is there anything that you've like picked up prior to this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, by day, I work for a real estate firm. And right now, I just work in the office, but I used to actually be my boss's like main assistant. And I was out in the field and I was cold calling people and negotiating contracts and all that. So, what I learned in real estate is like, follow up. Like that is the biggest thing. And it's kind of crazy because like chasing real estate leads and trying to book gigs is like very similar, because you're literally doing the same thing. You're calling them or emailing them, and when they don't answer you, you reach out again. And then a week later, you reach out again, and you keep reaching out to them. And even if you think you're annoying them, you're actually not. It just shows that you really want it. And half the time, like, your emails may not get read, or, you know, if you call, you may call at the wrong time or whatever. So you just got to keep trying. But definitely real estate has helped with that, because I used to have people like hang up on me all the time and say no. And so I got really used to like hearing no and being hung up on and stuff. Nice. So,
well, not nice, but I mean, it, yeah. you don't get as fragile to like, oh no,
yeah,
they don't want
a lot of people will like, not get a response or hear no or whatever, and like get so discouraged,
take it so personally.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, there's been plenty of times that I was so discouraged, I was you know, I almost quit so many times, or just, you know, sitting there like, God, I've like reached out to so many places and nobody's responding to me, like, what am I doing wrong, da da da. And then all of a sudden the next day someone's like, hey, you want to play here? And I'm like, what?
So, oh my God.
Yeah,
nice. So what have been some recent, like, personal challenges that you've had to work on?
When you don't get the response that you think you're going to get, it can be very discouraging, like, especially with, like, booking gigs and everything. And even sometimes, like, when I go up on stage, like, I've been doing it for a little over a year now, and I used to have crazy stage fright, and I've gotten over that a lot, but there are still some times where I'm just not feeling it that day, it'll show a lot, and I'll kind of get in my head and feel like the crowd doesn't like me or whatever. And then I'll just, I don't know, it just kind of get in my head about things and overthink things. So that's something I've been trying to work on, just keeping my emotions and my feelings like to the side, and realizing like I'm there for other people, not for me, you know? And, so yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
That's been a big thing for me too. So what is your go-to strategy when it comes to, like, you know, I want to go, like, play places? Like, what's your playbook?
So when I first started, I was not very confident in what I was saying, and, like, with negotiating money and, like, different things, or even really explaining who I am and what I do and stuff.
What kind of music do y'all play?
I don't know.
Everything.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. So definitely, like, Facebook and Instagram, were huge for me, and emailing. And a lot of times if I message on Facebook, they'll send me to someone's email or something. But yeah, so definitely, and still to this day, I mean, that's gotten us a lot of gigs, just doing Facebook and Instagram. But I think definitely, like, if you have the confidence calling people and, like, calling restaurants, I mean, you could literally just call and say, hey, can I speak to whoever's in charge of booking music? And then they'll direct you to that person, or they may even give you an email to email, and or even going into a place. But with that, you kind of have to time it correctly, because you don't, you know, Friday night at 5 o'clock, you don't want to walk into a restaurant. And all, you know, have business cards on you always, like, because if you're out at a restaurant or something and you see that they do live music, you know, sometimes just making connections in person and on the phone is good, but definitely emailing and messaging on social media. But with those, again, you will most likely not hear back.
No.
But you just, I mean, there have been times where venues got back to me like 4 months later, and my last message to them was like a month ago, and I'm just like, whoa, what? These people just hit me up, like, what the heck? And so you just gotta, like, keep trying.
Well, and that's what I love too, and that's something I've been working on, is like, stop being so vain. Like, we have a tendency to make everything about us, like, oh, they didn't respond because, like, oh, I did something wrong. And it's like, how many times, like, management got changed over,
or they're just busy.
They're busy, yeah. You know,
or,
like,
your email
so
went
many
to spam.
Other, oh, your email goes to spam. Oh my God.
Don't put links in your email.
Yes, at least not the first email.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, looks sketch.
I feel that hard, right?
And don't email. I did that. I emailed, like, the same email with like our social media links, like, to 6 different venues at the same time, and I'm pretty sure Google
got,
like, marked my email
shut
as
down.
Spam. So, yeah, don't Dang. Do that.
Learn from my mistakes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So is there any like background information or tools that you feel like would be good to have before you reach out?
I mean, definitely like having, when you're first starting out, you probably don't have a website. You probably don't even have social media or anything, but even just having like a recording of you singing or playing or your band, or doesn't even have to be a video recording. It could literally just be an audio recording, but you'll probably need something to send to them. I mean, there are some places I've booked that were just like, yeah, sure, come on in. But those places are probably sketch. So yeah. 9 times out of 10, they're going to, like, if they do respond to you, the next thing they're going to say is, hey, like, right, send me something. Because obviously they want to hear what you sound like before they just book you. So that would definitely be good. And also just kind of like having, well, I guess, it's different from when you're first starting out versus like when you have some experience. Cause like when I was first starting out, I would literally like money wise just take whatever I could get. Right. And then now it's kind of like I have a certain amount that I know everybody needs to make and we're not going to go below that. And I know we're worth that. And so just keeping that in mind. And another tool for just negotiation in general, getting them to say a number first. Like a lot of times they'll say, oh, what do you charge for 3 hours? And sometimes I'll say, well, what's your budget? And then they throw out a number, because there have been times where I threw out a number and they're like, oh yeah, sure, that's great. And I'm just like, you answered a little too quickly. Yeah, I feel like I'm too low now, you know. And then there are sometimes the people I said, what's your budget, and they said numbers that I wouldn't have, I was like, whoa, like, you know, more than what I would have said. We're 100% worth that, but like, so it's always good to let them throw out a number first. Or if they might say like something really, really low and you're just like, eh, maybe this won't work.
But then if you have something like a duo or something smaller, that could be like, you know.
Exactly.
It kind of gives you that leverage for pivot.
Yeah. Because that's, you know, with us, that's what happens a lot. Like, oh, you're in that price range. Well, then we can give you the duo for that. Oh, you're in that price range. Well, then we could do full band, you know.
You kind of touched on this a little bit already, but how has your audience changed or just kind of developed overall in time? Like
before, it was more, I was just whatever I can get. And now, I guess, yeah, I do more target places that I feel would be a better fit for us because we've had experience now. Before, I didn't really know like what our, because my band's like super versatile, so we don't have just one specific genre, so it's hard sometimes to just be like, oh yeah, like we only play at rock places or we only play at blues places, because we're so like have so much variety.
Different venues. But it's been really cool just like over time to see. I feel like we've gotten a little bit bougier. So where it used to be more like dive bars and like restaurants, you know, it's starting to move into like
vineyards.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like over time, you, like me as an artist, I kind of realized who I was as an artist and what we're trying to do. And before it was just like, oh, I'm just so hungry to like play. And now I'm like, I don't think I really want to play there. I'd rather play at a place like this. And, you know, so
it's refined.
Yeah. But definitely it takes time. I mean, if you're first starting out, 100% go play wherever possible. I will say when I first started, I was definitely, I would definitely do more research on the venues. There was a lot of times that I would book a gig at a place I've never been to. That was more like, there was this one place that was more of like a rock place. And so we were kind of freaking out trying to like put together this rock band, you know, vibe, but like it wasn't really us. And like at the time I was just like, yeah, I got us a gig. But like now looking back, it's like, you know, it's good to get gigs, but also get gigs at places that, you know, you're going to do well at and the audience is going to respond well. Cause if you go to a rock bar and you're like a country band, you're probably not going to do, you know what I mean? Right. You're probably not going to do too well. So kind of know like what you're going for too. So.
Well, it's also been cool with Facebook that I love. Cause a lot of times you can even Facebook or like Google and pull up videos of like past bands and see what stuck well, you know, what is the audience singing? That usually gives some pretty good indications.
And sometimes the place will even have an open mic. And so you could like go to the open mic and that's free. You go perform, do three songs. And then you can kind of watch other artists, see what they're doing, see the crowd, you know, get a feel for the place. And so that's always helpful too.
Okay. So what things have kind of helped you as a musician, especially for callbacks? Because I know it's like one thing to like get a gig and then it's kind of another like get on rotation and have someone that wants to kind of book you every month.
Yeah, I mean, definitely being proactive versus reactive is super important. Because, I mean, you could go to a place and perform and the audience loves you and, you know, the bartenders love you. But then if you don't talk to anybody to rebook, like even though they want to rebook you, everyone's busy. Everyone's doing their own thing. The bartenders are busy, you know. So I always try to make it a point to whoever I spoke to online, if they're there, make sure you go talk to them and say hello and, you know, show face. Even meet all the bartenders, the servers, whoever, like just make friends with everybody who works there. Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, at the end of the gig, like just make sure you'd be very like vocal about, hey, we'd love to come back. We had so much fun here. Who should I reach out to the same person I spoke to before? Or, you know, just being the person to say, because sometimes you might say it and they're like, the manager's there and they're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, let's go grab the book and we'll get you on the schedule right now. Or they'll be like, hey, text me some dates. But there was like one or two gigs that I didn't say anything to anybody. And like the crowd loved us. Everyone, even the bartenders loved us. But we never got booked there again because I never like made that connection with that person. And now they're not answering online. And so it's just when you're there in person, make sure take the time to talk to the people who work there and stuff.
Well, I also love to, you know, always feel like that's like a personal goal of mine has always been trying to get the names of the bar and wait staff, everyone there, you know, every time, you know, and, you know, I don't drink. So, you know, when we go up there, it's just a water, but it's like, you know, lady the other night, you know, Courtney with a K. And being able to say, like, you know, you know, go to Courtney, she'll hook you up, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you say that to her, like, come back, you're like, hey, Courtney, what's going on? Like, I can't tell you how many times I've had, like, oh, my God, like, you remember my name?
Yeah.
And it's, like, that small little thing, but I feel like it immediately brings, like, this, like, intimacy and closeness with that establishment to where it's not just, like, I'm a business giving these services, but, like.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, we're on a first-name basis.
So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely goes a long way, for sure.
And what I try to do too, like when we're performing, like, you know, talk to the bartenders at first, when you first get there, ask them, are there any drink specials tonight? What's your name? You know, and then when you're on stage, hey, make sure you guys try the, you know, Tommy Bahama margarita.
Peach.
Yeah. Make sure you tell Courtney to make a special for you, you know, stuff like that. And now people are like, oh, what is that drink? And now they're going to Courtney and, you know, you're, because the thing is like when you're there, just because you don't work for the bar, but in that moment you kind of are like working for,
you're and there to bring more money to the establishment.
And the more money you can bring to them, then that means that they're gonna like you.
Yeah.
Because even if you don't, especially first starting out, this is something I've struggled with too. Is just like I feel like sometimes not a lot of people come to see us, but the great thing is the people who are there, they stay. You know what I mean? Like they'll stay for the whole 3-hour performance and they're ordering drinks that whole time. And that means so much to the bar, you know, in the restaurant. So like, even if you're not bringing a bunch of people, if you can make connections with the people who are there and you know, keep them there, that's really
especially
important.
Utilizing those breaks too. I try to at least like one person or a couple or someone while I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially when we get on rotation and stuff, because then you know you happen to see them. It's like, oh, Deborah, good to see you again. You know, I don't know. It's cool. There are so many times you've had to pull me off.
I know. I'm like, Nick to the stage,
right, please.
And that's something I'm trying to work on because, like I was saying before, with like being in my head sometimes, like I feel like I'm definitely more of like, I'm like an introverted extrovert. You know, so like I kind of. Sometimes I don't really like want to talk to anybody, but like I know like I need to because, you know, I'm there and everyone's looking at us and, you know, you're making them feel something, and just to be able to like make those connections and talk to people, like, it's super important. So I've been trying to work on that too. But yeah.
That's fair. I'm just like introverted. So I just get really awkward.
But you still talk to people.
I don't know how to start it. You know what I mean? So I'm like, hey, or like I'll smile, and usually I'll just like be close enough to where someone would be like, hey man, like y'all sounded great. And I'm like, yeah, oh, there right? it is. Right, see man, you know, and it goes from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always really awkward getting it going. But once it's going, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel just that. Awkward. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciated this, and you know, really got to go over a good bit of stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess first off, you know, is there anywhere people can go to like, you know, hear more about this amazing band that you're a part of?
Yeah, you can check us out. Our website is house11music.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. Same thing, House 11 Music. Okay. But yeah, we post all our shows and everything on there. I'm hoping we'll have a YouTube channel eventually. Yeah, and right now we do cover songs, but I'm hoping to get into some originals and stuff soon. So yeah.
And if there are any bands who are listening to this and they're like, man, that's cool, I still don't know if I want to do this myself, but I would love to have Miss Natty Ray represent me and use her contacts.
Yeah, there
is that
you go.
Something you'd be open to?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah, we've talked about this a bunch, like, just because I know sometimes, like, it can be hard. It's hard to just, like, reach out to a bunch of places. You're all excited and you're like, ooh, like, I can't wait to hear back. And then you hear nothing. Yeah. And then you do it again and then you hear nothing. And then you do it again and you hear nothing. And it's very discouraging. So, and like you said, you know, we've just made so many connections with so many local venues so far. I mean, we've probably played at like at least 20 places.
No, way more.
If not more, yeah. I don't even know. I've lost count. But that's the thing. I mean, it might be like 20, 25 places, but it seems like so much because we're at all of them like every month, you know. So but yeah, we have good connections with all of them. And if I were to just be like, hey, you know, this band's really good, you should book them, they probably would. So
well, that's what I'd love to, you know, especially once again, you know, finding that manager you talk to, you know, even when we've gotten outside of restaurants more in like pop-up markets or just markets in general.
Yeah.
You know, when they start using a booking agency, that, I mean, that's not just there. I mean, usually they're looking for bands and entertainment for like multiple places.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's some really, really good people to get to know and be on friendly terms with for sure.
Yeah. And that's something too. I feel like every show we do, we like book another show through that show. Yeah. Like whether it's people saying they want a private event, whether it's them saying, oh, I know this other restaurant you should reach out to, or, you know, whatever. It's just, so the more you put yourself out there, the more, and really it's mindset too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all mindset. That's the one thing that has really changed for me. Like I put it in my mind that I'm going to book 10 plus gigs a month. And I just keep that in my mind and I keep putting the work in to get there. And guess what? We're booking 10 plus gigs a month. Yeah. Like literally. And just a few months ago, that was not the case. So, it's really just gotta not get discouraged. And if you really want it, just keep pushing forward.
Yeah. Well, that was one of my personal, like, top favorite moments. It's happened a few times, but you know, had the business cards with a little QR code that people can kind of scan, and I've had people in the audience come up and would like take a few, and they're gonna be like, I'm gonna drop these off at some local places, y'all would be great at. And it's just like, oh.
Yeah. Like, exactly,
you know what I mean? Like other people volunteering to market for you, like,
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, that's what's awesome.
All right, well, thank you again.
Thank you.